Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 3rd to 23rd in communities across Canada. La Fondation canadienne pour le dialogue des cultures, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association through the Community Radio Fund of Canada and this station, present the RBF series January through March of 2016. For more information, check out www.ncra.ca/RBF.
Francophones have been a fixture in Alberta since the days of fur trading. Over the years, Francophones from across Canada and around the world have made their way to Western Canada to live their lives, and their community and culture have formed a unique part of the Albertan mosaic. Though several traditional Franco-Albertan enclaves with deep roots exist, there are many more cities and towns where Francophone community and culture is created by those transplanted from other places across the globe. Lethbridge, Alberta is not a traditional Franco-Albertan community, but it has a strong Francophone presence due to people who are passionate about building a community around their shared culture and language. We're joined in conversation by three community builders who share their experiences living in and building the Franco-Albertan community outside of its traditional confines. Today we are joined by Stéphane Rondeau, the regional director of Lethbridge's Association Canadienne-Française de l'Alberta, Rudy Desjardins, a radio host with Alberta's Ici Radio-Canada, and Marion Trigaudet, a French instructor at the University of Lethbridge. These interviews were produced by Rob Chernick at CKXU 88.3 FM in Lethbridge, Alberta. Stéphane Rondeau moved to Lethbridge with his family from Drummondville, Quebec, and recently worked as the regional director for the area's Francophone community organization, the ACFA Régionale de Lethbridge. He joined me in studio at CKXU to talk about the diversity of Lethbridge's Francophone community and how its identity has changed during his time living here. While originally here for a one-year commitment, his family has now been here for 15 years and counting.
We came for a year. We had a contract. My wife, she was looking to take a year contract at the school, the French school. And I took a contract at the French Association. And it was supposed to be only for a year. So we met a lot of people here. The environment, the climate, the economy. So for sure, the first income tax was great. So we decided just to stay around. It was a great place to raise a family.
When you first moved here, what was one of the biggest culture shocks that you had?
For sure, the language. Language, everything is in English around. The language was the first barrier. We've seen as well food.
How would you say it was different?
The French Canadians are more used to food that is coming from Europe a bit, like the influence are coming a bit more from Europe. A lot of different restaurants. And sometimes the food is mixed as well.
Yeah.
Because even if it's a French Canadian meal, it will still have something else from another country that is mixed with, because it's like this, like for generations.
In the years you've been here, what are some of the changes that you've noticed in the Francophone community in Lethbridge?
There's way more people now. When we moved here, I think the numbers were about 1% of the population. And the city was, 15 years ago was 45, 50,000 or something. Now we're at 95, the city by itself. So I would say about the same. The French community, it's at least twice the size now than it was 15 years ago, for sure.
What's the makeup of the French community here in Lethbridge? Sort of like ages and sort of the background?
It is really diverse. It's hard to find a common ground, because most of the time people are coming from all around the world now. So we do have different faith, we do have different cultures, different values, and it's sometimes hard to find like something that everybody is just feeling comfortable around the same. I would say the language is the first thing, but we always try to find out something that is a bit more cultural. So this is the hardest point. Try to find something that everybody is able to find himself.
The people that we have in Lethbridge who are Francophone, it's not just people who've moved from Quebec.
No, we do have people from BC that are French, the people that are from the prairies, from Ontario. We have people from the Maritimes as well. For sure, people from Europe, a lot of them. And we will see even people from Scotland. We'll see people from Southern Africa, Northern Africa. So it's from all around the world. So there's 122 countries and regions in the world where they use French. And I would say that we have at least the third of this here around town, for sure.
When someone moves to town and they're Francophone, are they knocking on your door first thing to sort of get the lay of the land and learn what is out there in terms of culture and community?
We see this a bit before as well. So before people are thinking to move, they are calling us, they're contacting us, they want to know a little bit about Lethbridge, what it is, what it looks like. We're lucky enough that the cultural center is attached to the school. So when Francophones or French Canadians are moving here and they do have kids, for sure we're seeing them at the center. This is kind of the hub, if you want. because everything is attached together. And there's three other organizations that are under the same roof as well there. So there's a daycare, there's a film society. We do have as well the center society by itself that manage the center that is right there.
So I just sort of wonder how kind of English and French culture sort of meld together. Like, for example, your kids, would they watch a lot of the popular English shows for children their age, or would it be more the French shows, like their taste in music and books and that? Is that still very strongly Francophone, or is there kind of a blend in there?
It's a blend. They absorb everything that is around them. So the main thing we're seeing with them is when we ask them what they are, like are they Albertan, Canadian, French? And for them, it's easy. For them, they are Canadian first, living in Alberta, so they are Albertan, and they do speak French, but as well English. So they don't have a problem with this. For them is they are building their own identity with what they have around them. So I think this is what we're seeing as well, because we had this discussion with a few older guys. One of the meeting we had in Moncton, we had a meeting and the guys were saying, you know what, my dad was a French Canadian. For myself, I was a French Albertan and my kids are bilinguals. Like for them, it's okay to be both. Having both cultures, it's okay for them.
When it comes to retaining language and culture now, do you find that of the people you've met, are most of them French-speaking at home, or do a lot of them speak English at home now?
It's, again, really a melting pot. We're seeing families with the parents speaking French, parents speaking English. We're seeing both parents speaking English at home, but they are sending their kids to the French school. It's really, really diverse. Like, this is really special.
You have the common language, but at times, that's about it. For commonalities. How do you navigate those challenges when you're coming up with ways to build a community through events and through culture?
I think the kids are teaching us, because in school, the kids are dealing more with this. They don't see any differences. Like when they're doing something, it's in French. It's not the background, it's not a big issue. For sure, I don't want to import my own culture. This is the first thing I'm trying to do. I just want to be able to share with each others. I want to be able to have people that feel comfortable as well. But the hardest part is not to import. I just don't want to bring people from down east to do activities all the time. This is not the purpose. We want to support what is done here.
The regular Anglophone population of Lethbridge, are there ever opportunities for them to, say, get involved with what goes on with the CFA?
We're lucky enough that I think there's a momentum right now. We are seeing emergent schools. They are so busy right now. Like, the registration is working great for them. A lot of people want to be, like I said, part of it, even if they don't have the background. We have an organization like CPF, Canadian Parents for French, that are involved as well, and they do lessons for parents to help their kids. We do have as well like French lessons for people that just want to learn a little bit, maybe for traveling, maybe to keep in touch with some family, some relatives. We try to have activities that are open. For sure, some of them are just in French. It's a bit harder to get in if you don't speak or don't understand. But example, Cinemagine, when they're doing a movie, most of the movies are with subtitles.
Okay.
So give a chance to people to be part of it. Same, most of the events that we're doing, like the Cabane à Sucre, the sugar shack.
Yeah.
So it's bilingual as well. The flag raising is bilingual. We try to involve as much the Anglophone community as well, because we do have parents that don't speak French.
Do you see staying in Lethbridge for the foreseeable future?
I think so, because our kids, for them, this is where it's home. When you ask them, for them, it's really Lethbridge. They don't see anything else. Once in a while, we're going seeing the family. We're bringing them down east. And for them, it's just a visit. It's a trip. It's not home. Home is here. The friends are here. The environment, this is our place. So I don't see why we're going to be leaving Lethbridge so soon.
Rudy Desjardins is a radio host with Alberta's EC Radio Canada. As a leading member of the Franco-Albertan media, I wanted to learn about the role he has in shaping the news and culture of Franco-Albertans, and to discuss the experience of taking his show on the road to smaller communities across Alberta to meet their Francophone populations. He joined me for a phone interview from Edmonton. What's it like to work in the French media in Alberta, where it's predominantly English?
Now that's very interesting, because we don't feel the competition like it would be in the English side of the media. And because we're French CBC, well, Radio-Canada, French CBC has a huge role to play, but there's also the French newspaper, Le Franco, and two community radio stations across the province, one in Plamondon and the other is in Falaire, close to Peace River. But Radio-Canada is definitely the biggest, let's say, taking the biggest part because we broadcast all over the province. And for us, we kind of have a community role to play. As a media, the line is very fine between being not advertising, but making the promotion for some events for the French community, as well as if there are some topics that need more inquiries or tougher questions to be asked, we play that role as well. But we see ourselves more of a community actor where we want people to speak French, to live in French, and we want to be part of that as well.
As the media destination for Franco-Albertans, when you're choosing the news and the topics that you present, you want to focus on topics that are local to here, but also relevant topics from the French-speaking world, so say Quebec and France, and also just world news. So how does that balance affect the stories that you choose to focus on?
Well, the way we see it is that we're all Albertans. Some of us speak French, others speak English or other languages. So we'll focus on Albertan topics first, and then we'll see how we can talk about those subjects, but with French-speaking people. So we cover the politics, we cover municipal, we cover the election, all of those topics. But sometimes there are, say, within the French community, there are very interesting topics as well when there's a new president, let's say, or a new project that comes on. So we focus on what's happening here in Alberta. What's happening elsewhere in the French world, we'll talk about it if it has an impact on our life here in Alberta. So we always try to stay focused on, there's a lot of things happening around us in the world, but how does it affect our life here in Alberta? Or how does it affect the fact that we speak French? We're a minority group in an English province.
We're just at the start of a new year. So what were some of the big stories and big topics for Franco-Albertans in 2015?
Schools are always a big topic in the French community, either building schools, having new schools, because the French community is growing. So they need a lot of school. That's always a good topic. Last year it was, certainly it should be again this year. We talked a lot about politics, like maybe you know Randy Boissonneau was elected in Edmonton Centre the last federal election, and it raises some question as how the French community should give their support to French politicians, either on the provincial level or federal level, and where does the ACFA, which is l'Association Canadienne-Française de l'Alberta, where do they stand about it? Because they wanted to promote the fact that French candidates were out there, but do they give their support to the Conservative or to the NDP? So that was one of the big questions as well.
One thing I wanted to talk about today was the roadshow that you did with your show, where you took it around to different communities around Alberta. Where did that idea start from?
We always had that idea to go out there and meet the Albertans, where they live, where they are, you know, because we're centered in Edmonton and Calgary, pretty much at Radio-Canada. But we know there are pockets of French-speaking persons everywhere in Alberta. So, and it's very hard to go there and, you know, see how people live, and they can come and see us, how radio is made as well. So that was the first idea. And the idea to go in a caravan was that we could go either to the local coffee shop or meet them, you know, where things are happening in their community, so, and give them a chance to speak about their community. So that's how it started.
One thing I noticed was that there was sort of a mix where there were some of the communities you visited were more traditional as Franco-Albertan enclaves, but then there were others, for example, like Lethbridge, where they're non-traditional. And I'm just wondering if you noticed any sort of difference in the Francophone communities when you would visit one versus the other.
Yes. They that mostly in Edmonton in the northern region, that's where you'll find the an expression we heard during the federal campaign, an old stock French-Canadian in Alberta. So that means their parents, their grandparents were French, and they were here. They've been here for generations. Whereas in non-traditional French communities, like you call them, let's say like in Lethbridge, it's mostly immigration. So you'll have immigration from within Canada, so Acadian from New Brunswick, Quebecers, but a lot of French from France as well. And we were visiting Brooks, too, which is not far from Lethbridge in Medicinat. And Brooks has a huge community of people from Africa as well. A lot of them works at the meat plant there. So for us, that was very surprising. So it's always interesting to see how the newest French community works and how the oldest, I guess I could call it, works as well. Whereas Lethbridge is very surprising because everything is built around the school. So I think they've got a great system to get people coming in the community for activities and stuff like that. Lethbridge is definitely one of the best managed French community, I'd say, outside of the traditional enclave.
One thing I wondered is when you go from living in a primarily French world, you know, from living in Quebec, and you come out to Alberta and you build a life in a totally new environment that's very linguistically and culturally different, do you ever miss the former environment you lived in, or do you just kind of adjust to it?
I guess it depends, but I would think most of the people will adjust to it while missing it, probably. But a lot of the thing we're culturally, let's say, hooked on are TV shows, music, movies, and a lot of those are available through internet or our television. So in that way, it's kind of easy to stay connected to the culture. And sometimes it's something I find it hard because you stay connected a lot, let's say, to Quebec if you're from Quebec, but then at the same time, you're not as engaged in your community. You kind of live where you're from. To me, it wasn't that hard. A lot of people, a lot of things are happening here in French as well. There's definitely a French life here. If you want to live in French, you have your own address where, this restaurant has a French server, or you can go to your corner store. It speaks French, and there are always here and there a good French movie from Quebec that is shown in a theater. So I think it's easy to adapt to the English life while keeping a bit of your French culture out here in Alberta.
Would you say that ultimately you sort of have a decision where it's either you focus on where you came from, but you don't really live in the moment here in Alberta, or you focus on where you are now and building a French life?
I think that question is raised when people have been out, let's say, out in Alberta for 2-3 years. Some people will take shorter time, longer time, where they say, okay, where is it, where I want to stay, where I want to live, or I'm going to move back in a year, in a month. It all depends with family, too. It's harder for some people to leave their family. Like myself, my family is still in Quebec. Parents and brothers are still there. So it was a tough question for me to say, my parents are getting older. I'm getting children, so they won't see them as much. So do I stay here in Alberta or move back to Quebec? So I'm pretty sure that question will happen at some point for people that come out west and live here.
So what is one of your favorite things about working in the French media here in Alberta?
Well, I've always liked that community role where, we're part of the French community. We're here to help. But there's a very interesting topic in the French community is governance. It's very interesting as well. So I've always liked that two-sided kind of deal where we're critic, but we're here to help as well. We're good friends, but if something goes wrong, we want to talk about it. And in the end, it's all in the interest of the French community. So that's why we're here. I feel like I'm part of a project working in a French media, in a community, French community, a minority environment. So I guess that's what I like about it.
Marielle Trigaudet hails from France, but is currently on a year-long contract with the Modern Languages Department at the University of Lethbridge. She is a French as a second language teacher who had never been to Canada before moving here to teach. She joined me in studio at CKXU to share her experiences in teaching and living on the Canadian prairies.
Honestly, the country is super huge, and I knew like some cliches about like Canada, but nothing much. So I just checked randomly some cities that I might have been hearing on TV or something, like for the Winter Games or that kind of thing. It was really random as a choice.
So you'd never been to Canada before you came here to teach?
No, I've never lived Europe before. Left.
So let's go back then to your first few days here in Canada.
Okay.
What did you think? Like, were there any big surprises when you came here?
They basically told me that it wasn't the biggest city ever. So the very first thing, I arrived to Calgary Airport. So okay. I just see the airport, really. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like the airport is really cowboy-y. Like, there are, like, they got RC statue, and like there are a lot of people with cowboy hats that are working there. So I was a bit scared. And then when I arrived to Lethbridge, well, I had the chance to arrive at the university by the Greyhound. So I had like all the coolies and stuff, which was really beautiful. The first days were really interesting because like I've never been in a city that is like not an historical city. Like there is like all those flat square buildings that I've never been used to. But yeah, I think mostly North American cities are really different, and it was like super weird at the same time. It was super interesting to like be there. It's done differently, like all the streets and the avenues and all of those things. That was really interesting. I really liked it.
As a French as a second language teacher, your focus is helping people learn French where it's not their mother tongue. So what prompted you to follow that as a career?
Then in terms of like why I choose teaching, I really like, I've been always enjoying like sharing knowledge and having some like games and interactive ways of like learning from each other. I mean, you teach a knowledge, but all the people that are interacting with you, they're also teaching you so many things. And like, I'm here, and like my students, they also teach me English sometimes. Yeah. And I'm totally open to that. I'm like, I don't know, like some words, I don't know to say them, or I don't pronounce them well, and they just correct me. So they know, like they realize that I'm also learning a language. Yeah. And then it makes this connection that, yeah, it's hard for both of us, but it's super challenging. And it's super rewarding as well to learn another language. A lot of them actually got like ancestors that are French, or like okay. they're like the grandfathers speak French, and they just have never been hearing any of the language.
Yeah.
So that's sometimes one of the motivation why they want to learn French actually.
Now, when you moved here, were you surprised to find that there was a Francophone community in Lethbridge?
I was super surprised. Okay, the first thing that made me surprised, that surprised me so much, it was not really about like the community, it was about the fact that everything is written in both languages. And I was expecting this only in Quebec. And I thought after the border, yeah. it was done. Like it was only Anglophone, English language. All the teacher, they were having like a lot of connections with other French persons. And then there were like the French immersion schools. And I didn't even know it was possible in Alberta. So yeah, that was a real shock.
Now, one thing that you do that I think is very interesting is you do research on Franco-Canadian women who are playwrights,
yeah.
but who are from outside of Quebec. And so now you're sort of living that as a French woman living in an English part of the country. And I'm just wondering if that gives you a new perspective to what the lives were like of the women that you research.
Yeah, well, the very interesting point on those women is that they basically choose to be bilingual. So they choose to assume that they got two languages in their like in their artistic views and in their mind and in their heart. So that makes the thing, they show me that it's about identity a lot. Like language is a lot about identity. And I didn't really realize that beforehand. I was just like, yeah, I can speak any language, right? You can speak French and English and that's it. But then because they had to fight for like the recognition of their of themselves, like of like as women, but also as like bilingual persons, I find it gave me like a different perspective on what a language is and what is the deal with language. Because like it's part of you. Like this woman I've been working with, like Pierrette Requier, she'd been like writing, like she realized at some point in her life that she couldn't write anymore in English, that she needed as a poet to write in French.
Yeah.
And it was like inside her. And I felt like, yeah, it's really gave me a different perspective on how you learn a language. And like, no, I feel like some things can be said only in one of the language. So I don't know, like I have some very deep feeling that sometimes I can't explain in French, which are weird because it's my first language. But then, yeah, I feel like it gave me a very different perspective on how you use languages and the fact that they're not like the same. Like, even though you learn both of them, like they got different ways of being used and different symbolic as well.
When you have these students who are just taking their first steps to learn French.
Yeah.
And you're teaching them and you're building the foundations of a new language. What do you find most rewarding about that?
I'd say the very rewarding thing, and then when they start crossing you on the corridors and just say hi, like say bonjour. And then this is the moment when I feel like it gets real in their life. Because that's good to go to class for 3 hours a week, right? But then out of the classroom, it's like you really need to find opportunities to practice to make it real. So when they tell me I'm going to go through the Explore program, that is like the Canadian program to go like to learn French. If they say, yeah, I'm going to the Explore program this summer, or they just say hi and how are you on the corridor in French. And I just feel like you make them socially aware of the fact that they can speak another language in real life. Mm-hmm. And that was make sense to me. Like, I don't really want them to know all the vocabs or, like, I don't know, like, things that we learn in class. I want them to be able to activate their knowledge when they're outside. So, yeah, I think that's the rewarding part.
You've done work in England. You've done work here in Canada. Do you have any other countries on the list that you'd like to go to next?
Oh, my God, yeah. So many. I'm going to try to stay in Canada for a while, though, because I really like the culture and I really enjoyed the way people like are. There is a very specific spirit to Canada. But yeah, there are other countries on the list. Like, my brother is living in Cambodia, so I'd like to go there. Also, I would really be interested in like Northern European countries, because they got a very way, like very different way of like doing pedagogy and didactics. So yeah, that's pretty much the two next things.
Okay. So I guess just sort of a last question there. You said that, you know, there's something about the Canadian spirit that you really like and that seems to have really resonated with you. What do you think that is?
Huh. Well, that's a mix of a lot of things. There is a way like people are super like welcoming and warm and polite, and they try to be really nice to each other, and I really enjoy that. I really feel like people are honest here, like they will tell you the truth all the time, which is super shocking sometimes. I had this student that couldn't come to my class, and he wrote me like a full paragraph about why and what happened exactly, and for me it was super shocking because I would never do that like in France, because it's just people don't tell what they really feel or what they really are. And that's a thing I really like here. People are quite straightforward. That makes them way more honest and way more trustable. And also there is this thing that in the west side of Canada, you still have so many places to build things, to create things, and you have so many opportunities. And that makes me like, I don't know, it gives me like this spirit that I really want to achieve stuff. Really I want to create things and make it matter, like make something that like that have importance. So yeah, I really like this. I think it's quite an inspiring place to grow up and live.
For more information on the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, which is an annual celebration in partnership with La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Community Radio Fund of Canada, and this station, visit www.ncra.ca/RVF.